Hey, kids, you're listening to A Couple of Annoyed Grump Boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast. That's right, we're the Simpsons Podcast that discusses the beloved animated sitcom from seasons 11 and beyond at random, and then the new episodes when they air. Why do we do it this way? Well, the entity known as Wheel of Random cursed us and forced us to watch those episodes because plenty of other podcasts out there have discussed seasons 1 through 10, that being the Golden Age. So we were tasked to find if there's any episodes from the later seasons that can match those episodes. And when I say we, I'm just one annoyed grunt boy named Craig. And with me, as always, is the other annoyed grunt boy,
Steve.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How was your eventful weekend? Any fun stories involving work?
Well, Craig, critters? You know, you have your beloved squirrels.
Look, the reason why I like my little squirrels is because I don't have a pet at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of responsibility. But if I could just open the door a couple times a day, feed them some peanuts, and then go on my merry way, that's nice. I don't need to, like, clean a litter box or clean up their poo. It's easy for me. Now, you know, sure. I do miss the snuggles and cuddling because you can't do that with wildlife.
Your squirrels may be all well and good, but I got to say that I'm a little upset with squirrel kind.
Oh, no. What'd they do?
So the other day, I am at work. And for those who don't know, I manage a bar inside of an international grocery store. It's great.
Inside of a Starbucks, inside of an airport.
Yeah. And it's like 6:30 at night. And all of a sudden, the power goes out. And I'm like, uh-oh, did we forget to pay the bill? But I take a look outside, and a lot of places have no power. And it turns out that 10,000 people in Portland had lost their power for like 6 hours. So we had to close the store early and, you know, try and salvage all the refrigerated items. And it was a whole thing. And so I went to the website Reddit and looked at the Portland subreddit to try and find the cause of this. It turns out that it was squirrels, but there was speculation between two things. It was either squirrels or there was talk about white supremacists trying to ruin the power grid.
Why white supremacists?
Well, there's this theory that white supremacists are looking to ruin the power grid and kind of cause chaos in the city, especially Portland, it being so liberal. So there's rumors that white supremacists are trying to shut down the power. So it was clearly either a squirrel or a white supremacist, or maybe it was both a white supremacist squirrel, you know, a Nazi.
Ah, what do you jerks know? That's a quality joke.
And, you know, I hate Nazis, but think about how cute those little armbands would be.
Jesus. And little Hitler mustaches.
Yeah, yeah.
Little hats. I know they're squirrels, but I imagine Walt Disney had Chip and Dale dressed as Nazis at one point, and they're like, yeah, Walt, we can't have that.
Yeah. Donald Duck, that's fine, but not the rodents.
Chip, yes. Dale, no.
That makes total sense.
You know, what's funny is I think I saw that post on Reddit too, but I was out of town, so I didn't get the effects of it. It's Reddit is not the best place for all your information because it's like both extreme sides. I think it's like far left and far right.
It's true.
Cool views. Yeah. Well, Steve, your story was nuts.
Thank you.
So if all the power's out, you probably pilfered all the cold beer. You didn't want to get that warm, right? So you had to take it back to your house to keep cool.
For the good of the beer. Yes.
Does that mean we should go to our favorite corner, Steve?
I think so. I think it's time for the Simpsons Beer Corner.
Now a little beer music to get in the mood.
All right, Steve, what do you got for us this week?
Well, Craig, they begin the episode headed to Duff Days, which seems kind of like a festival of beer. And, you know, this time of year, there's another festival known as Oktoberfest, celebrating the harvest and all things Germanic. So I thought I'd be celebratory as well. So I have from Rosenstadt Brewery out of Portland, Oregon, Fest Beer. And it is a rich amber lager with layered malt flavors of bread, almonds, and dried fruit paired with spicy floral hopping. And it says Prost.
Yeah, Prost.
So it's 6.2% alcohol, 28 IBUs, so not too bitter. Rosenstadt is a relatively newer brewery in Portland, focusing more on traditional Germanic beers. Their can is not incredibly kid-friendly. It just looks very German with silver and white squares with some purple accents, looking just very European. But the beer itself is a nice amber color as advertised.
And Steve's got one of the old German steins there.
Jawohl.
There.
Hmm.
Oh, he's drinking it now. Yeah, that was him. That was him, guys. He was sipping that.
Yeah, that's delicious. That's a really good beer.
I had, I don't remember what it was. I had a spice beer this past weekend. Yeah, yum. That sounds good. You know how much I love any of the German beers, or pretty much just give me one of those and I'm happy.
Yeah, this one has like a great malty opening, but then it gets fruity, but like not in like an any sort of artificial way. It's just, it's like they say dried fruit. It just has that kind of bready fruitiness. It's like the best part of a cheese plate in a beer in the best way possible. Like that's a solid beer.
That's definitely one on the Craig will drink probably sometime this year.
I think you should. I think you especially would really enjoy it. What about you, Craig? What have you got for us?
Well, you know, I got more inspired by your story that you just told me. I got this beer mostly based off of you and not this episode of The Simpsons. Because okay. I know I'll be drinking a lot of festival beers. And look, this episode has Mo. And of course, he doesn't have an ass and neither do you. So that's why I thought of it anyway. So there's our connection. But also, I just now noticed on the can, I think it might be a fox or a squirrel. I can't tell, but yeah, let's just pretend it's a squirrel. One of the things Steve's not really a fan of is the good old pickle. Steve doesn't like pickles. So I saw this beer called Fort George Hold the Pickle. So that probably means like there's probably no pickle.
Right, because you're holding it.
Yeah. And it looks like it's a fox or maybe a squirrel holding like a pickle. And the background is like the mid-century aesthetic, you know, like Jetsons-y with like the stars and the circle, you know, that kind of aesthetic mid-century look. Here's the description, Steve. Do you like pickles? Are you the person who orders extra pickles on everything?
No.
Burgers, hot dogs, halibut, filet mignon, spaghetti? This beer is for you, Steve.
Oh.
Yeah. We pickled it as if it were itself a pickle.
Mm.
Oh, but here's the best part, Steve. Do you not like pickles?
I do not like pickles.
Ignore what you just heard.
Oh.
Yeah, everything you hate about pickles, you'll love about this beer. Are you interested now?
Well, that makes no sense. I'm so confused. Well,
the absence of the acidic bite you might get from an actual pickle juice leaves this pickle's sour room to shine. Zesty, dilly, a crisp, unique garden freshness.
Interesting. Open up the can.
Opening it up. Yeah.
Pouring it into a glass.
Boop, boop, beep, boop.
Typing into the computer. Feeding the robot. Traveling through time.
I was trying to do the old internet login modem sound effects with
that. Yeah.
Or the how about the dot matrix? Okay. Enough of that. Yeah, it's light color and you know looks like the color of any lager type of, you know. The smell, it was really nice. Like when it's called Hold the Pickle, you think pickle and you know there's pickle sours out there and I don't smell the pickle. So it's like well, I'm just gonna see what it tastes like here.
Mm-hmm. Taking a sip, checking it twice.
It's very nice.
Oh, not naughty at all.
No, I think you would like this. It almost tastes like, I think we might have talked about it last week on the podcast in the Beer Corner, where you could take like a Keystone Light or a Natty Ice or some sort of bad, shitty lager, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is add salt to it to like change the flavor.
Yeah.
And so that's what this kind of tastes like to me. I just feel like they've put in some salt. But I know they use like pickling brines and salts in this from what I read here. So you don't really taste like you're biting into a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
There's still kind of like a saltiness, sweetness, freshness to it. It's really good. I think you would actually enjoy this. This is a beer that I think would benefit from maybe actually is spicy or maybe spicy too, but maybe like saltier foods, like a burger would be great with this beer. Tacos, like anything like that. I think it'd be like a nice flavor enhancer for a meal.
Yeah, it does sound like it'd pair well with food.
Yeah, Hold the Pickle. Very fun and unique because it still tastes like beer and not like you're drinking a sour pickle ale.
Right. I'm very intrigued by it. I'm going to give it a try.
I believe you might even have it at your store, Steve.
That seems like a possibility, yes.
Unless it all melted in the blackout of 2023.
That's right. That damn squirrel.
Hey, cheers to the beers. And let's just get on with this week's episode. We're going to go back in time. We're still in the dog days of season 11, Steve. We're going all the way to February 27th.
Ooh.
The eve of the last day of February. Or was that a leap year? Was there a 29th of 2000?
Seems like there should be.
I won't do the math, and it doesn't matter, Steve. So let's go to February 27th, 2000. What was the number one movie in the box office?
Once again, it was the Matthew Perry classic, The Whole Nine Yards.
And this is still in the time of like in when Stu's released movies, and February was pretty much when he would release like romantic comedies or just straight up comedies. So
yeah.
Yeah. Summer blockbusters weren't every month now, right?
It's right, like exactly.
A new Marvel movie every month or a new DC or whatever it is.
And then for the record, it was a leap year.
And it was a leap year. That's great, Steve. I'm glad to hear it.
That's right, Craig. But while we were laughing to the antics of Matthew Perry, what were we listening to on our Zooms?
I don't think Zoom was the thing in 2000, but look, Steve, it's back to the Savage Garden song. I knew you. I loved you.
I knew you loved me too, Craig.
I think we've heard enough of that song in a couple episodes.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I should hold the pickle from that Savage Garden, Steve. When you were a kid, you think pickles actually like grew from the ground? You could eat them from the ground? Or did you know there was like pickling involved?
I think I probably thought that they were like pickle plants.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I thought that like cookies grew on trees.
Wait, they don't? I saw those fucking Keebler elves making cookies.
Exactly.
I mean, I've planted a hot dog tree in the backyard this summer. It hasn't grown yet, but I think it might be a fall bloomer.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's why we have them in the summertime, because they bloom in the fall. You got to harvest them.
Remember when we were in school, we had that springtime pumpkin fest dance.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That's a reference to The Simpsons.
Hey.
The episode we're watching this week. Steve Pygmalion, after being labeled too ugly for a Duff beer calendar, Mo goes for plastic surgery and ends up so good looking that he becomes a soap actor star.
Wow.
Soap star. Yeah. Steve, let's finish our beers. Stop holding your pickle while I drink my hold the pickle.
Okay.
All right. We'll come back and talk about the episodes.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah, it does. Okay, cool. All right. We'll be right back. And we're back. Today, we're talking about Pygmalion, the 16th episode of the 11th season, originally aired February 27th, 2000. It's episode 242 in the show's run. The nerd code is BABF12, written by Larry Doyle, directed by Mark Kirkland, and the showrunner, Mike Scully.
All righty. Larry Doyle is an American novelist, television writer, and producer. So he used to work for First Comics, and then he started writing for Liquid Television on MTV, as well as Rugrats. He wrote for Beavis and Butthead. And then in 1997, he joined The Simpsons, and he worked there from 97 to 2001. So he has written seven episodes of The Simpsons, but only three that we can review. So he wrote Girly Edition, The Terror of Tiny Town from Treehouse of Horror 9, Wild Bart's Can't Be Broken, and a story from Simpsons Bible Stories, which I know we talked about it, but I still am surprised that we can't review because of season 10.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a complaint, and I think it's just an observation.
Yes.
We also have It's a Mad, Mad, Mad March, which we can review, and Worst Episode Ever. Mad, Mad, Mad March, I think, is the Canyonero episode, if I'm right. No, is that right? No, it's the Shut Up Becky episode with Parker Posey.
Right, it's the Otto marries Becky. Yeah.
Right. And then Worst Episode Ever is where Bart and Milhouse run the comic book shop.
I kind of remember that one.
But the one that we're talking about today is Pygmalion, which is a take on Pygmalion, which is a classic character who carved a woman out of stone. And then in the 20s, there's a play called Pygmalion about a man who is so cocky that he's so fancy that he can turn anybody into a fancy person. And that eventually turned into that other play and movie, My Fair Lady. And then it became the basis for lots of movies like Trading Places and She's All That.
Famous example, Dr. Detroit, starring Dan Aykroyd.
You're correct. Yeah, that is.
Oh, God, what episode where we brought up Dr. Detroit and we both said we never watched it. And then, like, the next day, I got a copy and then sent you a copy. And
yeah,
we both watched it out of, like, curiosity. Like, there's so many movies that we haven't seen that, you know, are like classics.
Right.
Like, no, we're going to watch this bomb from Dan Aykroyd. It was only 90 minutes, so that was good.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating film.
I think it deserves a podcast of us discussing it.
I think so. I think And I know that we always tease our Patreon, but that might be an Eye Off Springfield that we need to do.
Yeah, that should be for people that aren't even Patreon subscribers. They got to know about this movie.
Yeah, I think we should spread the word of Dr. Detroit.
I still need to watch the Andy Kaufman movie, Heart Beeps. I think that's what.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Heart Bleeps or Beeps. Yeah, where he's like a robot.
That's another one. Yeah.
And like Bernadette Peters, I believe, is also in it.
Hmm.
I think she plays the love interest.
That doesn't sound bad.
Heart Beeps. Randy Quaid's also in it. And Christopher Guest. Wow. Dick Miller, famous character actor.
Oh, yeah. I love Dick Miller.
Wait a minute. John Williams did the music? He did? Wow. The budget was $12 million and the box office was $2 million. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
But we also have to, like, the idea of that, of our Patreon podcast is somehow has to connect to The Simpsons. So Christopher Guest was on an episode of The Simpsons. So
that's true. Good. It works.
Yep. Because I don't think Bernadette Peters or Randy Quaid have ever made a guest appearance on The Simpsons.
You don't believe so. I think Randy Quaid has been referenced on The Simpsons.
Yeah. They've used John Williams' music in The Simpsons. So
that's true.
That works.
Alrighty, so Craig, do we have a chalkboard gag this week?
Yeah, it's kind of meh in my opinion. It just says dodgeball stops at the gym door. I mean, it's not meh, it just feels very season one or two to me.
Yeah, it's very just like, this is a thing a kid would say.
Yeah, and so it's the obvious Bart just brought a dodgeball into Krabappel's class and threw it at her face and broke her nose, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and as her nose was bleeding and she was crying, she's like, you're gonna stay here and write dodgeball stops at the gym door 100 times while I go to the ER.
Oh, speaking of nosebleed, when's the last time you had a nosebleed? Like from,
oh, man.
Like not from like physical contact, but just like I'm walking down the street, why is there something wet on my lip? Oh, my nose is bleeding.
It has been a while, but not as long as I think it's been. It's been probably like 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's been since I was a kid, and like this weekend, all of a sudden I have that notion, I'm like, what? Why is there, oh my God, my nose is bleeding. The hell? This hasn't happened since I've maybe been 9 years old. I don't know.
It is a weird thing.
So, I mean, I had like some spicy chicken wings beforehand. I don't know if that caused it.
Hmm.
I wasn't picking my nose or anything. I wasn't like digging for gold. I wasn't
right.
Blow my nose really hard, or I have to blow my nose after I eat something spicy to get some mucus out, but
right,
yeah, and then like a giant like blood clot booger comes out at the end. Yeah. Like, this is weird. Maybe it was just it must have been the spicy food,
probably.
Let's hope that. And it's normal to cough up blood too while your nose is bleeding.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay,
to pee a little blood too, it's fine.
I'm assuming that's fine. Blood's all in my body, it's fine if it comes out in other holes, right?
Exactly. If it's in your stool. Yeah. It's even whatever.
It's in my stool and on my chair.
That's good.
So, yeah, the chalkboard gag. Surely, Steve, then maybe the couch gag is a little bit better.
Oh, well, I'll let the viewers be this decider of that. So the family runs in and sits on the couch as usual. Oh, wait, there's more. Marge notices Matt Groening's signature at the bottom of the screen and wipes it off. A Simpsonized version of Matt Groening, or is it Groening, complete with a graying beard, glasses, and tacky orange and yellow Hawaiian shirt, comes in and re-signs the scene. Marge gets shocked by it, while Bart, Homer, Lisa simply just look at it.
Is this the first canonical drawing of Matt on The Simpsons, or have we seen him before?
We've seen him before. I want to say in season 9 there was like a Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
That maybe even featured somebody wearing a Futurama shirt before Futurama debuted.
Right, okay, yep.
And I think he was in that. And there might have been earlier instances too, but...
Well, the famous 138 Simpsons Spectacular where they show file
photo
Matt Groening with the eye patch and balding and the gun, yeah.
Yeah.
Or was that...
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're right, so I guess we've seen him already. I just thought this couch guy was great. Have they used it multiple times, or embedded in my brain?
It is funny how much I... Like, this is like one of the classic ones. I think this is the first instance of it, but they've used it twice. Let me double check that, though.
I would like it if Matt Groening just came into my house and just wrote his name on the floor.
I know, that'd be funny. This is the second time they used it. They used it earlier in this season.
Oh, okay.
For Guess Who's Coming to Criticize Dinner, which we reviewed way back when, but...
Wasn't that, like, our third episode or something?
Maybe. I thought... Like, I remember us thinking, like, finally a good episode.
So, yeah, probably. It's probably, like, our 10th episode. Like, we made it to 10 episodes, guys.
Woo!
What a great episode. Well, Steve, speaking of great episodes or non-great episodes, I'm not sure yet. We have to watch this, and let's do that. So it begins, like every episode of The Simpsons does, with a smoke alarm going off at 742 Evergreen Terrace. Homer runs through the house yelling fire, waking up his family members, and Lisa looks around her room, trying to decide what precious items she wants to save. She opts for her saxophone, and then, of course, Snowball 2, and then a trophy case. She's looking at that, like the shelf of trophies, and she decides to grab the trophy for attendance. And Bart comes out of his room with Santa's little helper on his back, which is nice. And then Marge tells everyone not to panic as she is panicking with her two cherished things, Maggie and a vacuum. I don't know if this was like a reference to the classic arcade game where she fights with the vacuum.
I don't know if that was the intention, but that's definitely what I thought of.
It's hilarious because they come running out of the front door, but then all of a sudden the vacuum's gone. She's like, gave up. She's like, eh.
Yeah.
Maggie's more important. I like also how Maggie's face is just like still like groggy from like waking up. Like mm-hmm. She has no idea what's going on.
Just tired. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they run out and Homer conveniently has the car parked on the lawn and he tells them to get in because it's not a drill.
So they drive off and while Marge, Lisa, and Bart catch their breath from this horrible, like, frightening incident, Homer praises their hustle. They're sure to be the first in line for Duff Days. Marge can't believe that Homer set off the smoke alarm just to rush the family off to a beer festival. Homer laughs off Marge's anger, saying that he sure is a character, which I don't remember what the term we used, but like goofy ass Homer. That's kind of the era we're in, kind of post jerk ass, but more just silly Homer.
Did we have a term? I don't know if we did.
Maybe we didn't, but
let's call it a self-aware Homer.
There it is, self-aware Homer, because like with the Maude episode where like Bart's like, do you even have a job anymore? And Homer's like, I'm pretty sure I don't.
Okay, we'll go with that.
That's kind of where we're at. So he then pops in a cassette in the deck and loud polka music plays. Bart and Lisa reach for the car doors, but find the handles have been removed. Homer laughs, twirling the door handles, which actually kind of look like window rollers in his hand.
Yeah, those are window rollers. There's so many things in here that are so obsolete in our current
tape
lifestyle,
deck.
Like a tape deck and window rollers.
Yeah, even like the door even has like manual locks, like with like the little pegs that you on the door.
You see kids back in the day, like to lock our car doors, you actually had to insert the key into the door, turn it. And sometimes you had to like hold the handle up
to
or
lock
down
it.
To lock it. Yeah. And you had to roll the windows down with your arm. You had to crank it.
That is weird. Like if you're like driving by somebody and you do the motion where you turn your hand in a circular motion, that probably means nothing to young children.
If you think about like the icon of the floppy disk still being the icon to like save a document on your computer.
Right.
Kids don't know what a floppy disk is.
No.
Well, Steve, the Simpsons arrive at Duff Days, a lost weekend for the whole family. Bart and Lisa are relieved to finally arrive at their destination, meaning no more polka music. But when they step out of the car, they find a live polka band picking up where that cassette left off.
Bit of a blunder there. Mm-hmm. So when the Simpsons family get in the car, they're all in their pajamas. But when they arrive at Duff Gardens for Duff Days, they're all in their normal clothes. And the pets are missing. Now, maybe, just maybe, Homer had the foresight to bring clothes for the family.
Yeah, maybe he like dropped off the pets at Patty and Selma's or something.
Or maybe they're just in the trunk.
Where pets belong. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So as the Simpsons enter the festival, they're greeted by the Duff character Surly, who encourages them to drink Duff responsibly. A man dressed like a member of a barbershop quartet asked who the designated driver is. And as Marge sees Homer trying to twist off the head of Surly, she volunteers to be the DD. The man then leads Marge to the Duff designated driver's Rockin' Fun Zone. And at first, Marge thinks that the Rockin' Fun Zone sounds like fun, but is less excited when she learns it's basically a locked cage covered in razor wire.
Oh, that's good. Lisa checks out the Alcohol of Fame, which features animatronic robots from America's finest lushes, such as Ulysses S. Grant, Babe Ruth, and Ben Franklin. Then the Franklin bot drunkenly recites his axiom, early to bed, early to rise. And then the great Bambino assumes that the founding father was threatening him. Meanwhile, Bart visits the tipsy world as a gyroscope kids can ride to see what it's like to be drunk. But Bart should know what it's like to be drunk because he experienced it in Homer versus the 18th Amendment.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. Bart spins around and around and then is released feeling a little tipsy. And later in this clip, Homer, Lenny, and Carl are attending the bartending contest.
Now you're charming.
You don't know me.
This guy here, this is the guy.
All right, Springfield. Rally up for the Dove Beer Tender of the Year contest. Now, fresh from his appearance before the House Subcommittee on Teenage Alcoholism, Duffman.
Are you ready for some Duff love? All right, today we're going to find out which of these bartenders has the right stuff to dispense Duff. From the Green Potato Pub at O'Hare International Airport, Michael Finn. From Juggernauts in Hollywood, California, Titania. And now, the local lug who fills your mug with the drug you chug. Oh, yeah. Give it up for Mo Zizlak.
I love Titania. Great name.
Yes. Juggernauts, too, is...
How is that not a real restaurant?
Yeah, because like aside from Hooters, there's also a national chain called Twin Peaks, which as a David Lynch fan is very disappointing.
I think there's also like the Tilted Kilt is another chain. We don't have them in our area, but it's yeah, like, you know, scantily clad ladies dressed in kilts.
I see.
What would you serve at Juggernaut, Steve, if you owned it? And you will one day.
Okay. Well, let's see. You got to have chicken breasts. Cow breasts.
Pork breasts.
Uh-huh. You know, fish breasts.
Not turkey breasts, though. No one wants turkey.
No. But you can serve boob food, milk.
Oh, Jesus. Lemonade, fudge.
Sure.
Okay. The beginning of the clip, too, of the kids being drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
I also like Moe's little dance before he gets on stage. Kind of psych himself up. I thought that was a cute little dance.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mo does nervously step on the stage and greets the attendees, but the audience is distracted, of course, by Titania pouring beer on her chest and then shaking her breasts. And Duffman then introduces the first event, which qualifies for course credit at Dartmouth College, trick pouring. So then the Irishman, Michael Finn, uses a large cleaver to cut a can of Duff in half, leaving the beer to float in midair, which he then scoops into a stein. Pretty good trick there.
It is.
Titania has a more direct trick, overflowing two steins simultaneously while jumping up and down, causing her breasts to bounce up and down. Mo works hard to fill a stein after stein with Duff and placing the full steins to spell the word Duff.
That's also pretty impressive, honestly, like to pour that many beers that quickly.
Well, who would you vote for in this scene?
I gotta go with Mo. Maybe Titania.
I don't think the Irishman's gonna win this contest, but his is pretty impressive to you know, stop the laws of
physics
is pretty impressive. So I'm gonna give it to the old Irishman himself.
Fair enough. We'll let him apply for this one thing. From the crowd, Homer shouts, "Go Mo!" Boo everyone else. But Duffman declares that Titania has won the first round. Next is a trivia round. Duffman states that Duff beer is brewed from hops, barley, and sparkling clear mountain what? And so Titania rings in and answers, goat, which Duffman declares to be close enough. Homer enjoys his beer, saying that you can really taste the goat.
I really wish I got goat beer for our podcast.
I tried to find some. Next is the final round of the competition, which counts for 98% of the total score, thereby making the previous rounds a complete waste of time.
Much like the game Family Feud, right?
Exactly. And like, Quidditch.
Yeah. Yeah. That was annoying me about Quidditch. It's like there's these athletes and they're trying to score points and they do, and they're risking their lives essentially for this stupid sport, just like, you know, American football.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some four-eyes dumbass kid with a scar on his stupid face gets a fucking golden ball every time and they win.
Yeah. And like, what does that teach you about like team spirit or like sportsmanship? Like, it doesn't matter. And as long as the star gets the golden thing, then everybody wins.
And as long as that wizard or witch is a male or female, that's all that matters. They can't be any other genders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like Family Feud, I was watching a Celebrity Family Feud the other day. And it's like one team got like 296 points. The other team never got to play. But then it comes down to like the final round. It's like where 1 point is worth like, or, you know, where no matter what, the other team can still get like 300 points and win the game. And
yeah.
The final round or the fast round. What's it called? Fast
Money or fast pass?
Fast money. Yeah. Fast pass. That's Disneyland. And the points don't matter.
That's right. So the beer mascot reminds the crowd that the winner will be immortalized on the new Duff calendar.
So Homer, Lenny, and Carl show their support for their favorite bartender by lifting up their shirt and exposing the letters they've written in body paint. Homer's got an M for Mo. Carl has an O for the O of Mo. So that means Lenny has the E, right?
That's what you think.
Now Lenny has another O. They just spelled Moo instead of Mo. Steve, this is what happens when Lenny skips rehearsal.
Lenny, what are you doing?
I like how they have to have a rehearsal to lift up their shirts.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing at sporting events? I'm assuming it is. People put the team name or something on their chest.
Probably, yeah.
Mo.
I
don't know if they see that. I guess I don't really pay attention that much. I don't really watch that much football, you know, until when it's really important, right?
Right. Because, yeah, I feel like the super fans of football are probably the ones most likely to do it. I just remember seeing, like, Chicago Bear fans in, like, 30-degree weather being topless but painted blue and orange. And it's just, that's a weird way to spend a Sunday. No judgment, just weird.
Honestly, I could probably see now, like, podcast fans doing that, like, at live shows. Like,
yeah.
Doughboys fans.
Burger Brigade.
Yeah, which they might, knowing Doughboys fans, they might get kicked out of the venue for indecent exposure.
Because they all have breasts. Sounds about right.
Hey, don't shade at Doughboys fans. We're one of them.
Exactly. Some could argue that this show wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Doughboys.
Well, this and, of course, Joe Rogan.
Of course, yeah. He's the best. I don't like his comedy, but he has some good ideas.
Yeah. Steve, it's time for the drunk toss.
Michael
Finn tosses Barfly Larry with ease. Titania looks at her assigned drunk and confronts Duffman about their prearranged agreement. And Duffman said that if she sleeps with him, she wouldn't have to touch the drunk. Duffman, that's not cool.
No.
Never use sex as a bargaining chip, right?
That's right.
We learned anything today, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Duffman scoffs at her, exclaiming, "Duffman says a lot of things." And then, you know, of course, the "oh yeah."
Mm-hmm.
Let's cancel Duffman already.
Yeah, that's just gross.
Yep. Anyways, it's time for Mo to toss his drunk. Of course, his drunk will be Barney, and he tries to pick him up, but he's struggling. Instead, he runs at him with a plankwood with a nail through it, and Barney runs in fear. Then he jumps, landing at the same 12-foot marker as Larry. That's going to be a photo finish, right? Because Barney opens his mouth and a very long tongue. It would even put Gene Simmons to shame.
That's right.
Rolls on out, making Mo the winner. And maybe Barney and Titania hook up afterwards.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's hear Mo humbly accept his award.
And the winner, Mo Sizzler!
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Thanks a lot. I just want to say that it was an honor for me to compete with the Mick and the chick with the rack there.
Yeah, all right,
that's
Mo.
My move!
And now, to take your official calendar portrait, Duff's vice president in charge of calendars and fake IDs, Phil Angelides. That's a mug you don't want to chug.
Knock it off, Larry. We can't put this face on our calendar.
Phil Angelides, kind of a Bob Guccione type, I feel. And it might just be a coincidence, but the name Phil Angelides was the name of the state treasurer of California at the time. And so after a stint as treasurer, he just tried to run for mayor of California, but he lost to the incumbent Arnold Schwarzenegger. So there's your local California politics of the early 2000s for you.
Wait. The Arnold Schwarzenegger? Meinhard Schwarzenegger's younger brother?
The very same.
R.I.P. Meinhard Schwarzenegger. He died May 20th, 1971 from drunk driving. So that's why I brought it up. So kids, don't drink and drive.
Very important for this episode. There's a lot of drinking in this episode.
But what a great name, Meinhard.
Yeah.
Steve Hard?
Meinhard. That's what their dad said to their mother before they had sex. Mine hard.
Steve, is it okay we make fun of the Austrians and Germans?
I mean, they do have a pretty clean record. They've never done anything wrong, so except that one thing.
Oh yeah, making David Hasselhoff an international sensation.
Exactly.
Bad Germans. Bad.
Bad.
No strudel for you.
Oh, that's just not so good. So Homer and the kids go to pick up Marge from the Duff designated drinkers rockin' fun zone, where Apu plays with a yo-yo, Skinner smokes cigarettes nervously, and Kirk Van Houten pushes a laundry cart.
So that means Manjula's there, presumably getting wasted.
Uh-huh.
Because I mean, he wouldn't be there for Sanjay.
No, no.
Unless he is. It's weird seeing Apu, yeah, because then you'd think he would never leave the Quakey Mart.
And who's got the kids?
I'm assuming that, interesting. Maybe, well, because Homer with Bart and Lisa are walking around the Duff Garden, so.
That's true.
Presumably it's fine. Manjula's got the kids, so it's like a trade-off. She's like, well, I get drunk, and I'll watch the kids.
Yeah.
But you can stay in here to be the designated driver. And so it's like, then you don't have to take care of the kids. So I think it's kind of like both win, both lose type of scenario, right?
Yeah, that's a fair trade-off, I think. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Presumably at this time, you assume maybe it's Agnes is getting wasted, which would make sense, but it could also be Krabappel, because Skinner and Krabappel at this time are still kind of a thing, right?
Right, and I could see Edna being kind of a drunk.
Actually, I would like it to see if it's both of them. It's Edna and Agnes drinking, and all they're doing is talking shit about Skinner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a whole episode right there.
I'd love to see that. And then, Luann's probably...
But no, that's weird, because... Yeah, okay, I get it. So Kirk is there for some reason doing laundry.
I think he's there for two reasons. One, Luann is there with Nitro.
Right. And Milhouse, because we saw
And Milhouse, right. And so Kirk is there for two reasons. One, to spy on his family.
Yeah.
But also he knows that the Duff designated driver Rockin' Fun Zone has laundry facilities. And he's got a lot of laundry to do.
Yeah.
So he took the bus with a sack of laundry and he came in there, lied about being a veteran to get a discount. And then, he's doing laundry.
Do you think that the writers like think this much depth into like what we just did, like why these characters are there, just, or is it just, you know, the director just says put a couple characters in, doesn't matter who, just recognizable faces, no one's gonna care?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the latter. I think they're just we just need to fill space and time.
That'll be our job on the Simpsons staff. We'll be logic coordinators.
I like that. Yeah.
Is that a job? Can we just invent that job? Isn't that like The Secret? Remember that book that was popular like 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Where you will things to happen.
Look, they did it on The Office. Remember like the last couple seasons, Pam was like, I'm just the office manager. It was never a position. She just invented it. And
that's true.
So
yeah,
let's do that. We're going to be the logics. What sounds good? Logic.
Logic and pedantry, like the pedantic officers.
See, officer sounds too official.
That's true. And I don't want to be a cop.
How about like the logic and pedantic? No, I don't want team. Logical directors?
I like it.
Logic and pedantic squad. No.
Producers.
Yeah, producers is good. We'll be the LPs, logic producers.
There you go. LP.
We're LPs.
Yeah.
The LPPs.
You know us.
All right. So we'll just create a whole fake job. Let's send a resume in. to the Simpsons studios and like, we're here applying for the logistics producers job that you have available, and like, what?
And then we'll just point out examples of all these times where characters weren't where they should be, and like, you guys did this wrong, so give us a job.
Yeah,
so we can make it right.
And then, but we'll just keep lying and say, well, you guys fired your last LP.
Oh yeah, that's a good move.
You're just saying like, this job exists. You guys already had one, but he hasn't worked for a couple of years because you guys got rid of him. You remember that whole incident about the food ordering and the microwave, everything in the kitchen? You guys remember that? You don't remember that? Oh man, what are you guys smoking here? You guys really need some help. And then we just will be like fucking in there like we're Alec Baldwin's character in Glenn Ross, right?
Yeah.
ABCs, always be closing, but we'll be like LPP. Look, people, produce.
No, yeah, that's what we'll say.
Like, yeah, we'll just go in there like that. We'll just even like do the same speech that he does.
Yeah, like coffee is for closers.
Yeah.
Like, are they the new coffee guys?
Yeah, Duff is for winners.
Do they know that Duff's not real?
And we'll just yell at them. Like, we'll see someone like roll their eyes. I'm like, who are you, pencil neck? And we got to use like, old terms. Yeah. Al Jean, more like.
Bye, Jean.
Yeah, bye, Jeans. You over there, you're the new EP. Me, Mike Scully? No, the other guy behind you.
Yeah.
Ryan Coe? Yes, you, Ryan. Yeah. Just trying to think of people that work on Simpsons.
Yeah, Tim Long. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Long.
Yeah. Oh.
Who's this Matt Groening I keep hearing about? We're firing him.
Yeah, he's gone. He's dead weight. Anyway, so Marge has filled her time in the Duff designated driver's rocket fun zone, lifting weights, saying that when she gets home, there's going to be a lot of open pickle jars. Didn't we just watch an episode where she got really buff? Maybe, I don't know. Anyway.
Probably. Yeah.
So as they leave the park, Sleazy Duff is handing out pink elephant balloons to the kids.
Kids, would you like a balloon?
Yeah, right, Mom. Then I'd like a rattle and a wobbly pop. Actually, I would like a wobbly pop.
Those balloons won't buy you grade for 10,000 years. And if Bart gets a wobbly pop, I want a wobbly pop.
Maggie wants a balloon. And Daddy will take a hand stamp so he can get back in. Just kidding.
Remember my face.
Craig, do you want a wobbly pop?
I mean, I always do.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Suckers are great.
Yeah, I like a sucker every now and then.
When's the last time you had a good old suck, Steve?
It's been a while, honestly.
Yeah. I always liked those, like, the big round ones that had, like, so many different flavors that like, they're always in, like, not boutique stores, but kind of like boutique-esque stores. But,
yeah,
you know, they always had, like, crafts, like homemade candles or, you know, just a lot of knickknacks, right? But there'd always be, like, by the counter, like, you know, like, ooh, there's a pina colada one, or there's, like,
pineapple.
It wasn't, like, a straight, like, strawberry.
No, they'd have, like, a banana-flavored one or root beer or something. Right. Yeah,
and it'd be such a treat. Because they were, like, you know, maybe 50 cents when we were kids. So that's kind of a lot of money for a sucker. Maybe like, $1. No, that would have been too much. But that was always a treat. Because they last a little bit longer, too, than your typical, like, Tootsie Pop, because there was no crappy center.
Right.
It's a good suck.
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, blow pops?
That's a blow pop. Say from Charms.
From Charms? What?
What? Jeez. How is that, like, commercial just, like, stuck in my head for after 30
years? It's so stuck in my head, too. Like, that line specifically.
Well, honestly, because I know the gum lasts, like, for three chews, but I love bubble gum flavor. I think it's a great flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I always liked a blow pop.
And I really like the quality of the sucker, too. Like, no shade to Tootsie Pops, but they taste like Tootsie Pop. That's not chocolate. That's another flavor.
The brown chocolate Tootsie Pop, that was gross. But also, like, it's the initial, like, times we have the Tootsie Pop in your mouth. Like, it's like, this isn't good. And you have to, like, get rid of that, like, one sticky layer to get to, like, the flavor.
That's true. Yeah. There'd almost be, like, a layer of another thing.
Wax or something. Yeah. Yeah. But it's still no shake, because, like, you know, someone hands me a Tootsie Pop, like, I'll gladly take it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And is there Ring Pops? I always thought Ring Pops were great.
Yeah. Dum Dums were small but good.
They're fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I think I bought, like, a bag years ago and just, like, one after the other, just popping them in my mouth, because it was like, $1.99 for this giant bag of Dum Dums. Why not?
I know this seems obvious, but they should really sell Dum Dums without the stick.
Why not? Just, like, in, like, a little, you know, I guess, like, individually wrapped ones, or still a lot of plastic waste.
That's true.
But they would stick together if you had, like, a bag of them. Yeah. There's probably a way.
There's got to be a way. Science,
figure it out. Yeah. We don't need any more, like, COVID vaccines. We need more, like, candy innovations, you know?
NASA, you don't need to go to the moon. We know it's there.
Like, who cares about these aliens? No one cares.
No, it's probably going to be cake.
Yeah, it's got to be cake. And that's all we want. We want sweets. We're already on this planet for a limited time. We should all live happily and eat the worst food possible that makes us happy.
Exactly.
Hey, it's better to die from diabetes than from a war.
That's why they call it diabetes and not livabetes.
Yeah. Hopefully all of our diabetes fans out there don't cancel us.
That's fans with diabetes, not fans of diabetes.
Or both. I don't want.
Yeah.
We got to play both sides, Steve.
That's right.
We got to say Trump 2024, and we also say send him to jail.
Lock him up and then vote for him.
I want my president in jail where we know who he's at all times.
There you go.
Hey, it's perfect, right? Because then we know he's not golfing.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just be stuck in a Shawshank. Shawshank's real, right?
Yeah.
Remember in the early 2000s, Matt Stone and Trey Parker made the That's My Bush sitcom about
W.
That was, and I think it got canceled because of 9/11, right? Like, we can't do the show anymore because of 9/11.
Yeah. In fact, it may have aired right when this episode aired.
Oh, wow. The Simpsons were watching.
Yeah.
You know, the whole concept was, like, right up our alley, because it was just, like, a wacky, dumb sitcom of President Bush in the White House and how dumb he was, and even had like the sitcom tropes of like a wacky neighbor at the White House.
Yeah.
So now here's my new pitch for it. It's Trump in jail, and it's like Hogan's Heroes, but we call Trump's Heroes. So it's a parody of kind of like Hogan's Heroes, which is a TV show you could never do now, right? So this is its reboot in World War II, Hogan's Heroes. But now like the villains are the left extremist liberals.
Hmm.
But it's a show for liberals, you know.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's a parody. It's, you know, Trump's Heroes, and it's like him and Rudy Giuliani in like a prison. Okay.
Yeah.
And then like President Biden comes by every like episode just to rub it in his face.
Mm-hmm. The audience cheers like he's Fonzie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then you just play up on that whole dark brand thing, like have him coming in, like, but do the Fonzie-esque, like he's like wearing a leather jacket with like the aviator sunglasses on with an ice
and he's always like combing his hair.
Yeah. Licking on an ice cream cone, and then like takes a jukebox and it plays like a Hail to the Chief when he leaves.
What's this malarkey?
Yeah. Oh man, this is a genius TV show. Sorry that the SAG strike is going on, the J strike.
You're missing out on some gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get this on Tubi probably, or
oh yeah. Maybe even Quibi. Crackle.
Crackle, yeah. All right, let's talk off air but more about this.
Yeah.
Who else would be in the jail with them? Well, you got cast of characters.
Yeah, like Chris Christie can be in there.
Well, they kind of hate each other now, so.
Right, but that's why that'd be fun. It's like
well, was Chris Christie part of the whole January 6? I don't think he was.
No, I don't think he really was. But
it's just those, it's gonna be those guys and gals. And then, you know, like Ivana Trump comes in, or Ivanka Trump comes in to visit her dad with like a new boyfriend who looks just like him. He's pissed off.
I don't like that guy.
He's like, I wanted to be with my daughter. we'll talk more about this off air, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Steve, let's go back to The Simpsons, particularly let's go back to the bar. Mo paces nervously while Lenny, Carl, and Barney watch, and Homer bursts into the tavern with the new Duff calendars featuring Mo's picture. Feeling excited, Mo pulls his liquor license off the wall, looking to replace it with the calendar. Lenny examines the license and finds that it's expired in 1973. It's only good in Rhode Island and is signed by Mo. Mo admits that he's been meaning to get this license updated for the state they live in and for it to be real. All right, take Rhode Island off the list.
Yep, not there. Mo then opens the Duff envelope, eager to see the poster boy for the new millennium. He opens the calendar and sees a sticker over his face that says, Drink Duff. He pulls the sticker off and finds another sticker that says, Duff Enough. He pulls that one off to find yet another sticker that says, Viva la Duff. Followed by more stickers that say, Kiss me, I'm Duff. Ich bin ein Duff. And I'm gonna Duff you up. And after saying, For the love of Jeff, Mo removes the final sticker, revealing his ugly, smiling face covered in sticker remnants. He then wonders if he's actually unattractive, but Carl tries to offer some words of comfort.
Ah! Oh, am I really that ugly?
Mo, it's all relative. Is Lenny really that dumb? Is Bonnie that drunk? Is Homer that lazy, bald, and fat?
Oh my God, it's worse than I thought!
See, this is why I don't talk much.
I can't believe they put those stickers over my face. I must be the ugliest man alive.
Oh, Mo, there's lots of people uglier than you. Like, you ever been to White Castle?
Oh, boy. Pigtown, USA.
Come on, look at me. I'm a gargoyle. What with the cauliflower ear there and the lizard lips?
Little rat eyes.
Caveman brow.
Don't forget that fish snout.
Okay, I get it. I ain't pleasant to look at.
Or listen to.
Or be with.
Come on, Mo. Don't feel bad. There's too much emphasis on looks these days. That's why they won't let Bill Maher on TV before midnight.
Ah, Bill Maher, everyone's favorite.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
Let's talk about Carl breaking the fourth wall. Jarring, is it, maybe?
I would say it's a little jarring. We barely ever see Simpsons characters in general directly breaking the fourth wall like that. I mean, they'll reference The Simpsons in regards to, like, the world, but never, like, a fourth wall breaking like that. Especially Carl, so interesting.
So does Carl live outside of a Simpsons timeline? He's like, the Watcher or something, just like Ralph is?
He could be, yeah. Maybe there's a collection of Watchers.
Yeah. It's also, like, jarring to see his face, like,
straight on.
Straight on. Like, it's always weird to see Simpsons characters' faces straight on, but, yeah.
Also, trivia, or some people on the internet are saying that this is the first reveal of Carl Carlson's last name. And I didn't do the research, but I can't believe that's true.
When do they say Carlson?
I think they say it later on in this episode, but there are so many appearances of Lenny and Carl. And I know that in later seasons, they actually like give time to Carl and go into his life. But I have to assume that Lenny Leonard and Carl Carlson was referenced before this.
Well, that's just how old we are. See, we just assume that we've always known it. But, you know,
yeah, maybe listeners, if you know if this is correct or not, please let me know at 13Simpsons on Instagram or 13Simpsons at gmail.com.
Or let Steve know personally by his email, which, of course, is steve@gmail.com.
That's right.
Or his phone number, which, of course, is 555-555-1234.
That's right.
Phone lines are open now. So, yeah, Lenny tells Mo that if he's tired of being an eyesore, he could, you know, get some plastic surgery. Mo considers it, thinking that maybe they could get Dynamite Mount Crapmore and carve him a new kisser. Carl warns that plastic surgery might make Mo look good on the outside, but he still might feel bad on the inside. Mo is intrigued at the idea of looking good on the outside, but again, Carl warns feeling bad on the inside, but Mo is going for the plastic surgery, so he shakes Carl's hand saying that he saved his life, and then yells at Homer to get out of the cash register.
So back at home, Maggie is joyfully playing with her pink elephant balloon. Lisa and Bart watch her, thinking it must be great to be so easily amused. Lisa wishes she could be entertained by 2 cents worth of rubber, shaped like some colorful animal, dancing and twirling, dancing and twirling, dancing and twirling. So Bart and Lisa become enamored with the balloon, and both reach to claim it as their own. The fighting causes them to lose control of the balloon, and it slowly floats away, followed by Maggie, who is eager to get it back. Just as the balloon is about to float out of the door, Bart leaps and shuts the door, causing a draft which sends the balloon through the Simpsons chimney into the sky. As Maggie begins to cry, Bart and Lisa grab their bikes, and Lisa jokingly suggests that they grab hover bikes, and Bart, not realizing that she's joking, says that would be so cool.
I mean, they almost got hover bikes once, right?
Yeah.
And Lisa believed in it as well.
Yeah, exactly. Man, I want a hover bike. It'd be so cool.
I just remember as a kid, yeah, it's just the kid brain of you can't wait to be an adult so you can drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, why can't there just be like, as a kid, I was like, why can't there be like kid cars and kid lanes? Whereas, you know, maybe not as fast and dangerous as an adult car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I get to drive bumper cars. Why can't we just have bumper cars?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Hover bikes. Like, yeah, can't you just invent it to be like only goes about like 2 feet off the ground?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, awesome. It's motorized. So you don't have to like use your actual stupid legs to ride up hills.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need the exercise as a kid, right?
No, kids don't need exercise.
No. But I like how they're really thinking of Maggie and making sure that she's happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice of them. Or, you know, I don't know.
Could be just selfish, too.
Just go buy another balloon, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to Mo's story. He heads to the cosmetic surgery group, which claims will cut you good. Mo, in some hot pink briefs and sock garters, stands on a stool as the plastic surgeon, Dr. Velimirovic, examines him. As he looks him down, the good doctor, not that one, imitates a bomb exploding. Mo fears that it's hopeless, but the doctor loves a challenge, and so he then lays out his plan, drawing on Mo's face.
First, we must install buttocks. Nah, no luxury items, just a face.
Okay, I'm gonna move this up, this wider. I'm gonna lose that. I've never even seen one of these.
Can the medical mumbo-jumbo, can you fix me or not?
Well, we'll see. You know, most faces need a little remodeling, but this is a total teardown. Let me clean up this mess I made.
Hey, that really burns there!
Oh, stop it. You're worse than Faye Dunaway.
Dr. Velimirovic. This is his first appearance in the show, but he also appeared in Large Marge, accidentally giving her breast implants, which I think we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Homer got his stomach stapled, and he did that. And then he was also in Dark Knight Court, which is another one that we reviewed, which I barely remember, but I think Burns becomes Batman.
Yeah, I do remember that episode. Not fondly remembering that one.
Yeah. So, and he also appeared in the Simpsons movie. So that means that with this episode, we've covered all of Dr. Velimirovic. So, yeah, we'll never speak of him again.
We can throw his character into the garbage.
Exactly. I feel like the concept of, like, I guess there's still like shows that are like reality shows about plastic surgery, but I feel like the concept of the sleazy plastic surgeon is kind of a tired, not a tired trope, but kind of a trope that you don't see as often anymore.
Yeah, and I think with like a lot of the advancements that, you know, they've made in the cosmetic surgery, it's not as jarring as it used to be.
Yeah, and I think as people are discovering, you know, more about their body and the advancements, that, like you say, that it's not such a, like, considered such a sleazy practice, you know, because there are legitimate people reasons why people might get plastic surgery aside from just like pure vanity.
What we're trying to say is we need to start a GoFundMe for Steve because he needs a new butt. He doesn't have one.
It's true. That's my wife. I am sans butt. And so one of the many things that Mo and I have in common.
Well, a lot of the things. I mean, the face. He's got hair, at least.
Yeah. I was also a little rascal.
Yeah.
I wasn't a boxer, but I got hit a lot.
I won't make any more jokes.
Okay. So the pink elephant balloon continues to float through the skies of Springfield, and Bart needs to get closer. He sits on Lisa's shoulders with a butterfly net, trying to reach the balloon. Lisa, on her bike, asks if she can get on Bart's shoulders, but he would never be seen riding a girl's bike.
Didn't he already, like, ride Lisa's bike once?
He did, like, not too long ago in our world.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was embarrassed about it then, too.
Right. I mean, look, that's another gay kid mentality, because as an adult now, like, I don't understand why they needed to have, like, girl, because girl bikes, the bar connecting was lower, right? And then the boys was straight. Right. Yeah. But now you just see bikes are bikes, right? Like, there's still, like, gender bikes. Like,
yeah, you know, but there doesn't need to be.
Yeah, there doesn't need to be. It's so weird.
Like, the shape of girl bikes should just be the shape of bikes. Like,
yeah.
Because that bar isn't helping us either.
All bikes matter, right?
Exactly.
They need to be hover bikes, though.
Yeah, they do. And unicycles, you don't get a pass. You suck. Bart is kicking Lisa to get her speed up. And meanwhile, Mo is about to go under the knife.
Oh, boy, what a muck.
Yeah, you should see his genitals. Would you like to see them?
I'm awake here.
Uh-oh, this isn't anesthetic. It's new car smell.
Oh, sorry, doctor.
Oh, silver bells, silver bells.
That is always like a concern, like going to any doctor's office of like when they put you under. I just assume they're like, let's look at his genitals and make fun of them. Doctors and nurses, they're all human too.
It's true.
Everyone's judging everyone at all the time, you know? Just remember that.
It's a good message to send to the listeners. You should care more about every aspect of your life because people are silently judging you every step of the way.
It's true, though. It's true.
Yeah.
I'm judging you right now, Steve, with what you're wearing. And that mug. You really chose that mug to drink from today.
My favorite mug. What can I say?
And that hat, Steve, do you really need to wear a raccoon skin hat? It's kind of warm.
It is. But like, you know, I was doing my Davy Crockett cosplay and I just, you know. Gotta have the hat. Look at you, Craig, with your leather vest and your Rasta hat, your golf shorts and your scuba flippers.
Look, it's a look I'm trying to perfect. I'm not saying it's perfect yet, but you know, I think it's got some legs.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
But let's bring up the fact that you're wearing New Year's glasses from 2011.
Yeah.
Like you can't even see because the 11 is just like blocking your left eye there, or right eye.
Right. It was a good year.
Not as good as the year 2016, right?
That's right. That's the best year.
And 2019.
Ah, yes.
But really 20. Yeah. So Bart and Lisa continue the chase for the pink elephant, and the party favor floats into the top level of a building. So the kids run into the building, and Bart's complimenting the doorman for his suit. That's very nice. And as they leave, Snake Jailbird helps his son, Jeremy Jailbird, take Lisa's bike. As the young convict rides off on his own, he shouts, "Daddy, I'm stealing! I'm stealing!" Another fun Tress McNeil voice. This brings a tear to Snake's eye as he is so proud of his little dude. And so inside the building, several men in suits are sitting at a table. The man at the head of the table says, "We need a symbol." Something says, "We're gay and Republican." And just then, the pink elephant balloon floats into the boardroom. And one man comments, "A little on the nose, don't you think?" And Bart and Lisa run into the room trying to get it. And the man hands it to the balloon to Lisa, along with a bumper sticker says, "A gay president in 2084. And one of the men comments that they're just being realistic.
I love that joke, the pink elephant flying in.
Yeah, a little on the nose. And I like how in this time, in 2000, these Republicans are seem to be very you know, forward thinking too.
Yeah.
A gay Republican president in 2084.
Well, and also I got to say their bumper sticker doesn't even want a Republican necessarily.
Oh yeah.
They're just hoping for a gay president, which yeah.
So they're just, you know, yeah, just gay conservatives and which yeah. is interesting.
It is. At this not, time, it may have made more sense, podcast. But yeah, not a political podcast, but I don't understand how one would be gay in this day and age.
Unless
and
it
be
was
Republican.
Like from old money, you know, old money.
That's true.
Gay Republican. That's yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. I just don't know why you'd vote against your own self-interest, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're not there yet.
Yeah. At Springfield General Hospital, Homer watches the plastic surgeon remove the bandages of someone sitting in a chair. As the doctor unrolls bandage after bandage, Homer tells him to hurry up because he has to pee. The bandages finally come off, revealing a beautiful woman. Homer then asks the plastic surgeon to do Mo. It's a fun little trick out.
Yep.
And as he unravels the bandages, Dr. Willem Rovick wonders if Mo will go on his wall of fame or his blooper reel. So again, bandage after bandage is removed. And the doctor and Homer both gasp at what they see. Mo, fearing that he's a monster, vows to crawl back into the sewer, periodically emerging to sue the plastic surgeon. They then show Mo a mirror, and he's pleasantly surprised.
Is that me? Oopsie, we got some leakage. Let me just cauterize that for you. Ah!
Ah! Bye, Mo.
Don't be a stranger, handsome.
Bye-bye. Homer, did you hear that? She called me handsome. Me. It's like I'd gone to heaven. Wait a minute. I died on the operating table, didn't I?
Yeah, but just for a minute. It's a funny story. I'll tell you sometime.
So this is all real?
Oh, you dear, dear man. You're one of us beautiful people now. And your new life begins today.
A new life. A second chance. For revenge.
That brown patch needs a little H2O. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Duff Man. Let's see how you like a sticker on your face. Ooh. Yeah. Ah.
Duff Man can't breathe. Oh, no. Ooh.
I know that Mo is, often been considered an ugly character, but I feel like all the people of Springfield are kind of unattractive.
Right.
And so even when Mo is good looking, it's kind of hard to tell.
It's just essentially he has a new haircut.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at him, a new haircut and the eyes are a little
yeah.
different.
It is a challenge to change the character's face.
Right.
And still make him look like the character that he is.
Yeah, because you've seen fan art of making the Simpsons family look realistic, but then also attractive too. It's kind of jarring. Homer, yeah, being hot. I don't know.
It's
like art that's not in the Simpsons. Speaking of that, I like how Homer's like, oh, you're one of the attractive people like us now.
Yeah, exactly. I also like that he has a fun story about Mo being dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll tell you about it someday.
Wouldn't that be the story you want to know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that ends with, Mo, that clip ends with Mo looking for some revenge. So he runs to a house and Homer runs into a nearby bush and a woman answers the door. And the newly attractive Mo greets her by saying back in high school, he asked her to the springtime pumpkin dance, which is a very funny thought, the springtime pumpkin dance. And of course, she turned him down. He then tells her that he wanted to show her the face that she could have been kissing. Homer offers some encouragement from the bushes, but the woman admits that she just was a stupid kid back then, and she feels terrible for hurting Mo. She then apologizes, which confounds Mo. So Homer then throws a rock through the window, and then Mo and Homer run away, Mo saying how great it feels. And then finally, on Mo's journey of revenge, stops at Channel 6 Studios.
You gonna get even with that lottery guy that never picks our numbers?
Nah. This is personal. It all goes back to my acting days. I was auditioning for the role of Dr. Tad Winslow on the hit soap It Never Ends. Angela, I'm afraid I...
Thank you, next. What were you thinking?
Well, you said you wanted gritty. In other words, ugly.
I wanted Marianne on Gilligan's Island ugly, not Cornelius on the Planet of the Apes ugly. TV ugly, not ugly ugly.
I've been called ugly, pug ugly, fugly, pug fugly, but never ugly ugly.
Well, it's time to get some closure. Extreme closure.
TV ugly, like Marianne from Gilligan's Island, who, right. of course, in real life, never ugly. Even like yeah. the people that are like ugly on TV or supposed to be ugly, like in real life, when you see them, like, oh, wow, they're actually attractive people, because that's Hollywood. You got to be attractive, you know?
Yeah, that's it's so funny when like they'll have an episode with like a quote unquote ugly person. And it's like, oh, that person is just wearing ill-fitting clothing or they have a weird haircut. But like within two moves, they could be the most attractive person you've ever known.
Right.
So at Studio C, on the set of the soap opera It Never Ends, the actor who's played Tad Winslow for the past 25 years tells the producer that it's time he got a raise. Also, it's Dan doing an okay voice, I think. It just feels like a little bit like Homer being dramatic. The producer calls him a windy old hack. Just then, Mo faces the producer, saying that 25 years ago, she said that he was too ugly to play Dr. Tad Winslow. She responds by saying, that's why pencils have erasers, hon, naming Mo to be the new Dr. Tad Winslow. The other actor shouts that there can't be two Dr. Tad Winslows before realizing that he's been fired. He hands over his eye patch to Mo and walks away, sadly.
Aww.
And that could be a reference, maybe, to... Maggie Roswell being fired for not wanting to commute on her own dime to voice Maud Flanders, who died 2 weeks ago in the canon of this episode.
Which we sided on Maggie Roswell's side.
Exactly.
Fuck the producers, the rich studios, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Mo happily dons the eye patch, saying that he's been waiting his whole life for this moment. He then tells Homer that there's been a change of plans. Homer, who has been pouring gasoline all over the set, drops the gas can and says, whatever. And again, this Homer, yeah, he's like not necessary to the story. Just we have to have Homer antics because it's The Simpsons, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
We're really seeing the adventures of the citizens of Springfield, the TV show, is what we're watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go to this clip here with the opening of a Springfield's favorite soap opera.
Like the cleaning of a house, it never ends. With Gabriella DeFarge as Gabriella St. Farge, Allegra Hamilton as Sister Bernadette and Roxy Monoxide, and as Dr. Tad Winslow, Mo Szyslak.
I don't know if I'll be able to accept Mo as Dr. Tad Winslow.
Well, I'm going to keep watching as long as they have shocking story twists and endless pillow talk.
Cleo, Cleo, you've brought music to my heart, but this relationship can never work. I'm a doctor and you're a 5,000-year-old mummy I brought back to life.
But I love you, Tad. And together we can burn all the cities of the earth.
It's against hospital regulations, damn it. And Clive dances just waiting for me to slip up.
So, Lenny, how are things working out with you and that girl next door?
It's over. She got a window shade.
Come on, Lenny. That's not cool either.
No, it's also a hacky joke.
Yeah. Well, I was going to, speaking of hacky, it was such an easy comedy thing to do back then. I feel like it did a lot of like the soap opera, like making fun of it, of all like the odds and ends that soap operas do, like, you know, the money yeah. thing that Mo says or outlandish plots. But I know soap operas still exist, but I don't know if they're really in the zeitgeist of the pop culture, right? No, I mean, I never watched them, but, you know, they yeah. obviously weren't for kids.
I know that some people still like get into like General Hospital and that, but I don't. Yeah, I don't think they're as culturally relevant as they once were.
Well, look, if the SAG and WGA strikes continue, mm-hmm. we might start seeing more like primetime soaps, because the soap operas, yeah. they're not part of that union. So
that's true.
Who knows? We might see a new soap opera on 8 o'clock on Thursday on NBC starring Tilda Swinton and Kate Blanchett and Tom Hanks. I don't know.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman and Olivia Colman.
You're going to see Hugh Jackman more in roles because he's got to pay for that divorce, Steve.
Oh, right.
Steve, if Hugh Jackman and his wife couldn't make it in Hollywood, who can?
It's hard to say. They were a rock.
Yeah, I hear that his ex-wife is now dating Pete Davidson.
Oh.
Speaking of hacky jokes that are tired, the Pete Davidson joke they just did.
For a second, though, I just kind of believed you because, like, that's what people do. They leave their people for Pete Davidson. It never ends.
It never ends. Nope.
So Homer, Lenny, and Carl step into their favorite bar to find Mo surrounded by women. He tells his adoring fans that if they must grope him, please grope a little softer, then harder. Carl is surprised to see women at the bar, and Homer asks for a beer, but Mo's a little occupied, so he allows Homer to pour his own duff. So that means that in this episode, Homer's basically working at Mo's because he's playing around with the cash register. Now he's pouring his own beer.
Well, he's stealing from Mo's.
That's true.
Beer and money. Yeah.
Yeah. So as Homer fills his stein, he comments that it's not nearly as complicated as Mo makes it seem. And then as he says this, beer shoots from the tap into his face. He screams and shakes his head, but then just kind of opens his mouth and lets the beer fall in, getting drunker and drunker, which, you know. It seems like a good solution.
I kind of like how the animation, like it starts off like it's, you know, getting him all over face, but then he finds the right zone, the right angle of his head.
Yeah.
The perfect amount of like not getting spillage. This just hurts looking at it. Like,
yeah.
You need to breathe sometime, right?
Right. Like it's good, good, good. And then it's like, oh, sighting to stop. No more.
Yeah. Well, so in his dressing room, Mo runs some dramatic lines with Homer, and Homer's character claims that Mo doesn't love them. He just loves his ear, nose, and throat pavilion. Mo, as Dr. Tad Winslow, responds that he's dedicated his life to diseases of the head holes. But the one hole he's never been able to fix is the one in his soul.
Soul hole.
Yes. Homer is impressed and a little turned on by Mo's performance. Mo explains the origins of his talent when a mysterious package arrives.
Yeah, hey, I got a gift. As a child, I was bitten by the acting bug. Then it burrowed under my skin and laid eggs in my heart. Now those eggs are hatching, and the feeling is indescribable.
I know what you mean. Our dog had that.
Excuse me. I got a delivery here for the producers.
Top secret storylines? I'll sign for it. Yeah. Might as well have a little peek. Looks like my character gets back together with that evil Contessa.
The one with the amulet?
Precisely. Then I get in a skydiving accident and have to be rushed to the graveyard? They're killing off Dr. Tad Winslow!
What? Let me see that. Interior coroner's office. Close up on Dr. Winslow's mangled corpse. Coroner, let's get that brain out and weighed and call it a day. Yep, that does sound kind of bad.
Well, if they're gonna stomp on my dreams, the least I can do is go out in a blaze of sour grapes.
I just like how in the script, it's like, we got to rush his body to the cemetery. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because I watched Friends too much. I feel like the trope of soap opera actors worried about them killing off their character, it feels a little bit tired to me. But again, it could just be because I feel like Friends did that a lot, or maybe just once that I saw the same episode several times.
Is that maybe why I'm thinking like I've seen too many like soap opera parodies with actors because of Friends?
That's what I'm wondering, because like I know other shows have done it, but I just keep on thinking about Joey Tribbiani as Dr. Drake Ramore, and I feel like maybe that they just played on that too much, and so that this feels tired because of that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was about the same time too.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think we were pitching the Trump show. I think we just should do a pitch a soap opera show too. I don't know what it's going to be, but maybe it'll be the same story.
Yeah, we can do that. We can have a 5,000-year-old mummy and a Contessa with an amulet.
I mean, Giuliani only looks like a 5,000-year-old mummy.
That's true. There's nobody who's like fallen from grace more. He had the world on a plate. Everybody loved him.
He could have been president at one time.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a judgment of him, because I mean, I'll judge him. Sure. He's a piece of shit. But regardless of that, just to go from becoming an okay mayor who was cleaning up New York and was getting respect to becoming an American icon to becoming a guy at a lawn place that he confused for a hotel with hair dye running down his bald head, talking about a criminal who he wants respect from. Not a political podcast, but man, what a chump. Just a real sad sucker. Just wow. I don't know. He's just amazing.
If you go back to like 9/11, I feel like the American people like looked towards more of Giuliani for guidance than we did to our president.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, not a political podcast. We're a Simpsons podcast.
Ah, yes. So back to Mo. He's beginning his scene, sitting in a hot tub, sipping some champagne with that Contessa. He tells her that he never used to trust her, but now she seems so nice. The bejeweled and topless Contessa just suggests but they celebrate Dr. Tad Winslow's newfound trust of her by taking a skydiving lesson. As Dr. Winslow is about to accept the offer, Homer initiates the doorbell. Mo answers the door to find Homer dressed as an angel.
Dr. Winslow!
Why, who are you?
I am an angel from the future.
Angel?
What the f***? Should I cut him off?
No. Let's see where this is going.
And what do you have to tell us, oh angel of the future?
You're going to die in a skydiving accident.
How tragic. Tell me more.
Gabriella's baby shower will be invaded by terrorists with sexy results.
Ooh, that's unexpected. What else?
Well, Sister Bernadette will leave the convent and start a softball team with sexy results.
What's Dad doing on the show?
Who cares? He's dishing out the dirt.
And only then do we find out that Professor Galloway's half-sister is plotting to take over International Perfume and Wine.
Ah, he just gave away a year's worth of storylines. Cut him off now.
Yes!
What the hell are you doing?
Sticking it to you for killing off my character.
I like Marge writing down notes. And the only thing she writes is sexy results.
Yeah. That's all soaps, right? Just
exactly.
Sexy results. Yes.
Also, Homer being an angel from the future.
Which doesn't need to be exact. Yeah, that was
great. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
So as Homer and Mo high-five, the producer calls Mo an idiot, explaining that Dr. Winslow was only going to die in a dream. She points out that pink pages in a script always mean dream. Mo thought that dreams were on goldenrod, but goldenrod is reserved for coma fantasies.
Ah.
Another, again, feels like it's a staple in all soap operas, right? Comas.
Right, yeah.
Mo asks what time he should arrive to work the following day, but the producer laughs before asking two burly security guards to escort Mo and Homer out. Now, Mo then pushes the men away and states that he doesn't need the show. He figures with a mug like his, he can get on any soap in Springfield. He then storms out a door and slams it. The set lands squarely down on his head. He's dead. That would kill a human, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh. But he shouts, "Oh, my face! I'm not supposed to put weight on it." The guards lift up the set and Mo reveals the damage.
What? What?
Sorry about your face, Mo.
Nah, it's just as well. That handsome face was nice, but it was too much maintenance. I had to wash it, rub it with neat's foot oil. You did me a favor, Homer. And to think, I was about to sell the bar to Hooters.
Yeah, you were...
Oh! Well, I guess that wraps it up. There's one thing I don't get, though. When my face was crushed, why did it go back to my old face? I mean, shouldn't it have turned into some kind of third face that was different? Don't make no...
Oh, Steve, are we done with the show? Did I hear the end credits?
That's it, yeah.
Oh.
Everything wrapped up nicely, I guess.
It's interesting. We just went from like an episode where we're having a new continuity with Maude being dead, but then now it's just like, and we hit the reset button. Mo's back to normal. Let's kind of forget this happened. I mean, I do like how they did bring back like Mo's acting background that he had when he was a kid.
That's true.
So I'm glad that kind of continuity stays throughout the show. But yeah, there's Mo back to normal. Steve, I know we already played the end credits, but I'll play some other music here. Steve, I think we should take a little time to reflect, maybe give ourselves a little moke-over. It's like make it with Mo, a moke-over.
I like it.
Then come back and discuss this episode and say what we think about it. How about that?
Sounds great, Craig.
All right, let's go on break. We'll be right back.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
And we're back. Steve, let's wrap up this week's episode, Pygmalion. We'll talk about some of our favorite scenes, maybe if there was a character that was deemed most valuable jokester. We'll give it a nice little review, maybe give it a ranking, finding out what we're watching next week. But before we do all that, we're going to give each other a gift, something from this episode that inspired us to say, here you go. This is what I think of you. So, Steve, there's a couple things maybe I could get you from this episode. Like, you know, a visit to the old doctor.
Sure.
No, I'm not that kind of person. That's mean. Instead, I know your favorite TV show is Young Sheldon. So
of course
I went into Chuck Lorre's mansion and broke in and stole all the plot lines for the next 25 seasons of Young Sheldon. So here you go.
Wow.
Read all of those that you want. It eventually turns into Old Sheldon.
Wow, that's fascinating and exciting.
Yeah.
Did I say funny?
Nope.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
But thank you for that, Craig. I feel a little bad because, I got you a pink elephant balloon.
A little on the nose there, aren't you, Steve?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Oh, no, it flew away just like the chances of the Democrats retaking the House in 2024. No, not a political podcast.
Maybe if other candidates give hand jobs at stage performances.
Ah, you were the first one to bring it up in the episode. Damn it. Thanks for the pink elephant and enjoy the script, Steve. Hey, was there anything from this episode that made you go, this is hilarious? This is my favorite scene. These are my favorite jokes. That character sure is funny.
Well, the aforementioned pink elephant joke, I think, was funny. I think that there were some funny parts in this. I think that the producer character was fun. The joke about wanting TV ugly, not ugly ugly, is, I mean, sad but true and funny. I also like the little jailbird. That was cute and funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, do I give it to, well, you don't want to give it to Tress because she had a lot of parts, but no one particular character was like great or not the standout. So I think I might give it to Carl in this episode, him just being self-aware and, you know, being frustrated with Lenny for writing Moo and also just insulting everybody else in the bar because, you know, at the end of the day, he's fine, but everybody else just kind of sucks. So I think I'm going to give it to Carl in this one.
I like how Bart and Lisa are teaming up for a good cause of trying to make their sister Maggie happy. I think that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Homer is kind of just there because he has to be. He's the star of The Simpsons. Do I say Mo is the MVG? I mean, I do like that scene with Carl breaking the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fourth wall part, but like pointing out all of the insecurities of the guys.
Right. It's
very funny to me. The beer garden, the where they put everyone in the cage, the designated drivers is funny. The Duff beer contest, bartender contest was fun at the beginning. And I mean, Babe Ruth, robot getting drunk is good. You know what? I will give it to Tress because I liked her little snake's son, Jeremy Jailbird's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very cute.
And she had to do a lot in this episode. You know, she's kind of playing Lindsay Nagle-esque character as the producer,
mm-hmm.
but it's not Lindsay. And I'm glad they went with someone different because they could have easily just made it Lindsay. In fact, I don't know why they didn't make it Lindsay.
That's true. Yeah.
It's the same voice. It should have been Lindsay. Yeah, let's give the MVJ to Carl.
Okay.
Or Maggie. Maybe Maggie. Maggie's good.
Yeah.
Or the gasoline.
The gasoline was funny.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what did you think of this episode?
As we're talking about this, I'm thinking about there were stuff that made me laugh that I enjoyed it, but did I like this episode?
Right.
I'm not sure if I did. I think it feels very much, excuse the plastic surgeon pun, it feels like filler.
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb. But
much, yeah. But it's so dumb, I'm not even going to hit the cricket button. So
that's fair. The cricket doesn't need to work for this. It just feels like such a writer room, like, what if this happened, rather than actually a fleshed out storyline. And I actually really liked the B plot, even though that went nowhere and ended with nothing. Like,
and there's no plot progression. Yeah.
Right. It's just literally them following a balloon. It kind of wraps up with the joke about the gay Republicans, and that's it.
Right.
And that's fine with me. But I know that the concept of, like, a drastic change and then snapping back at the very end is like kind of the bread and butter for The Simpsons at this time, but it just feels so cheap. And even like the last minute Hail Mary of like, oh my God, they're going to kill off my character feels a little, I don't know, just like we got to do something now that he's attractive. Like it just feels like they're trying to come up with something rather than actually having a good idea. I don't know. Like, I don't want to be too harsh because I did have fun with this episode, but I think it might be a soft miss for me. Like, I didn't love it because it is kind of evoking these wacky adventures of, as you put it, like the Springfield residents rather than Simpsons. And Homer's just kind of tagging along for some reason. I think there are good things about this episode, but ultimately it's a skip. So if I had to give it a score, the average cost of a facelift in Chicago, New York, or L.A. is around $50,000. So I'm going to give this, I'll say, 26,000 out of 50,000.
So you could get like a really nice car or a facelift.
Yeah.
That kind of money. Okay. I didn't realize it was so expensive. Vanity is expensive. All right. Good to know. Yeah, I... Sorry, fans. I have to agree with Steve. I know we can't both be Siskel and Ebert on this podcast. We rarely are. But yeah, it's not a tough episode. And there's some fun moments, but it is very, as the kids like to say, mid.
Yeah.
And we came from just two episodes ago of like a big, you know, episode with Maude dying. And then this one could have just like done the same, right? Like, hey, the Simpsons are just going to change things, change the status quo. And Mo remains attractive. But maybe that's like a nice called response. Like I'd be curious to see if this episode, like back to back, like watch Maude and then die, and then this one's like two characters, Springfield characters, like lives have changed, but then they hit the reset button on this one. I don't have the production code off the top of my head for the episode with Maude dying, but it'd be interesting if those were like two back to back. So yeah, I think it might be a skip for me, but look, I've seen the meme of the Mo's ugly mug smiling with his thumbs up on the internet for years now, not knowing which episode that's from. I always assumed that was like maybe like an early season and like someone like precisely like hit screen cap pause like on a moment that wasn't supposed to be. You know how like sometimes you'll get those weird Simpsons face memes of like the animation when it's just like cycling through real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was like a point of the point of that episode was to show that ugly mug. So now you know what episode that's from, which, you know, there you go.
That's something.
Because even though I was having hard times and struggling with like, what's my favorite scene? Who's the MVJ? And like, honestly, I don't think it really deserves an MVJ in this episode. But we do this bit because we're supposed to, right?
Right.
Again, it's not horrible. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, a couple problematic things now, but really it's just, it's a Mo adventure. And I love Mo, but sometimes, you know, sometimes they don't work. Sometimes the main character, it can work. You know, we've seen one of our favorite show episodes was the Road to Cincinnati, where it was just Chalmers and Skinner. Like,
yeah.
The Simpsons don't show up until like, I think the end or the beginning, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done. And I did have fun with Bart and Lisa. That almost felt like that Bart and Lisa storyline getting the balloon could have been like a Disney animated short that they put on the Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's funny when you mention that, because I definitely remember the pink elephant plot before watching this episode recently. I don't know that I'd know that it was from this episode.
Right. But yeah, so not horrible, not great. There's better episodes from season 11. I will say that if I gave it a ranking, the show that Mo's on, it's kind of like a parody of General Hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
So General Hospital started in 1963, Steve. It's still on the air.
Wow.
And right, the wiki just says there's about 15,000 episodes. So out of 15,000, I'll give this 666.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, you guys have probably different opinions, and we would love to hear your opinions. Change our mind. Maybe you can. You could do that. Just let us know. But hey, Steve, We're still on the road on season 11. We're mere weeks away from the premiere, I believe, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't know if we're going to finish season 11 off.
I think if my math is correct, we'll be like two away.
That means we'll have to go back to new episodes, and then when they go on repeats, I'm just saying we're going to have to go back to the old wheel. I think it's getting sad that we're not using it.
Yeah, I think it feels a little lonely.
We're not going to be able to finish season 11, Steve, unless the wheel demands it, but that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if we complete season 11, do we just start a podcast off with like seasons 12 and beyond? Because we've already done 11?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd still have to be under 11, just so we can't change our status quo, right? You know, we don't have a mod to kill off.
I mean, you can kill me off if you want.
No, but then I have to do this alone.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Fun. But, you know, I hope the fun does continue next week with next week's episode, which, of course, is season 11, episode 17. Steve, it's titled Bart to the Future. What do you think Bart to the Future is about?
So I'm going to say that Bart befriends a creepy old man who has a fancy car and offers to take him back in time so he can sleep with Marge.
Yep.
And Biff is there too.
It'd probably be like whoever Homer's bully was, right?
Yeah, or they just have Nelson be Biff.
Nelson's dad.
Yeah. No, I know what episode it is. I like to pretend, but this is the classic, you know, one of the first future episodes in which
probably the second one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Lisa's wedding being the first?
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, Steve, it's a glimpse into the future. It shows that Lisa is president of the USA while Bart's a White House freeloader. I also think this is the infamous, after Trump won the 2016 election, that people like Simpsons predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
She makes a point that Trump was president at one point. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I have a lot of fond memories for it, so I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good discussion.
Yeah.
But will it be a good episode?
We'll find out. And we hope that you find out, too, by listening.
Yeah. Hey, contact us, guys. You can do that on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, all those, the Zuckerberg ones. at 138 Simpsons, or you can contact us on YouTube, youtube.com/at13simpsons.
And hey, if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcasting app and leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars or the equivalent, and write a real review. But you don't need to write a real review if you don't want to. You can just tell us about the soap opera that you want to star on.
And email us. That's the easiest way. Email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com or use a voicemail. You can scroll through the show's notes, click on a little button, and that'll take you to a voicemail. Just drop us a line. That'd be great.
And hey, if you want to be the coolest kid in town, go to tpublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys and get yourself some 138 Simpsons swag. We've got t-shirts. We've got all kinds of designs. You can get a laptop sticker or whatever, but we want to see you in our gear.
That's right. And thanks again, everyone, for listening. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell everyone to listen to the podcast if they're Simpsons fans.
Indeed.
All right. For this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And remember, I'm an angel from the future.
If Craig would say Wally Pop, I want a Wally Pop.
Too much emphasis on looks these days. That's why they won't let Bill Maher on TV before midnight.